If you turn to page 750 and 751 for responsive reading of Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man. Its rising form into the ends, its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can understand one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Also keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Hebrew Bible, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Hear these words. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You should not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the epistle lesson, part of the letter, first letter from Paul to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. If you'd like to follow along, as I always encourage you to do, it's in your pew Bible on page 156 of the New Testament. This is an especially telling message for us during Lent. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John 2, verses 13 through 22. Find it in your pew Bible on page 87 in the New Testament. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to Jesus, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today's lessons from the Bible are far-ranging, but I believe that these lessons from God boil down to foolishness, wisdom, power, and our expectations of God. I'm struck by the simple, enigmatic, and yet profound statement from Paul to the house churches in Corinth when he said, "For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." I think that you owe it to yourself and to your faith to prayerfully consider this statement during Lent. The gospel story from the Gospel of John, which actually is depicted on the cover of your bulletin, is the time when Jesus lost his cool and cleared the temple of those who had bastardized the true meaning of sacrifice and honor toward God. At first, this is confusing and certainly out of character for him. Jesus never advocated violence. In fact, his message is overwhelmingly one of peace. You remember, turn the other cheek. But here we see the human side of Christ when his anger got the best of him. Violence is never an answer, but clearly there is a time when one must stand up for what is right and true, like the sanctity of God's kingdom. To continue the mystery, the Jews then demanded a sign of Jesus, and he responded by saying, "Destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up." Now, obviously, this sounded like foolishness, complete foolishness to the Jews. The temple took 46 years to build, after all. But just like Peter from last week's scripture, these Jews had their minds set on worldly things and not on heavenly things. Jesus was clearly referring to his imminent crucifixion, death, and resurrection, but only later would his disciples understand this foolishness. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. All around us and even among us are people of the 21st century who look at the lessons from the Bible as foolishness, as naive and hopelessly out of place for our generation. Think about today's scripture that Mark read from Exodus, where God shares with Moses the Ten Commandments. Many people just hear that title, the Ten Commandments, and the automatic reaction is to shut down and to stop listening. God's commands, as listed here in Exodus, have stood the test of time, and they are still absolutely valid for God's people, for you and for me. If you're really honest with yourself as you consider these life guidelines, you'll come to understand that God has given us these rules to make your life richer and fuller and healthier. God gave us these boundaries because God loves each of us that much. Hear these beautiful words from Psalm 19. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." These words are as true today as they were when they were first written and first heard. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This week, as I was trying to figure out what it was that God wants us to hear this Sunday, my mind went back to a book that our Bible study group read several years ago, The Secret Message of Jesus, Uncovering the Truth That Could Change Everything, by Brian D. McLaren. In the early pages of this book, McLaren challenges his readers with some provocative questions that I address to you. What if Jesus had actually concealed his deepest message, not trying to make it overt and obvious, but intentionally hiding it as a treasure that must be sought out in order to find? What if Jesus' secret message reveals a secret plan? What if he didn't come to start a new religion, but rather came to start a political, social, religious, artistic, economic, intellectual, and spiritual revolution that would give birth to a new world? What if his secret message had practical implications for such issues as how you live your daily life, how you earn and spend money, how you treat people of other races and religions, and how the nations of the world conduct their foreign policy? What if his message directly or indirectly addressed issues like advertising, environmentalism, terrorism, economics, sexuality, marriage, parenting, the quest for happiness and peace, and racial reconciliation? Is it foolishness to see the message of Christ as revolutionary and entirely transforming? No, it is the wisdom of God, the power of Jesus, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Is it foolishness to recognize that now is the time to clear the temple of your heart, to repent of your sin, and to redirect your life to following Christ more completely? No. It is the wisdom of God, the power of Jesus, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Is it foolishness to believe that each of us can give back to God 10% of all that we have and all that we are? No. It is the wisdom of God, the power of Jesus, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Is it foolishness to believe that we should work to make the church the holy and sacred body of Christ that Jesus originally intended? No. It is the wisdom of God, the power of Jesus, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Is it foolishness to believe that together we can help to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of this entire world? No, it is the wisdom of God, the power of Jesus, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Is it foolishness to know that you are a beloved child of God? No. It is the wisdom of God, the power of Jesus, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This, my sisters and brothers, is the message of Lent. Amen.